Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to this podcast ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
From Wondery, I'm Nikki Boyer, and this is Call Me Curious, where every week I'll get to the bottom of those funny, strange, puzzling, or just gotta know questions you have. And we'll tell you, the best we can, what the answer is.
'Cause I've got 21 questions, I've been 21 guessing, you could teach me a lesson. Call me curious, call me curious.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15, discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
I need to know that it's real. Know that it's real. So tell the truth.
Hi there. Welcome to the show, my curious friends. I love you for listening. So, I have a question. When you were young, did you keep a diary? Did you? Because I did. I did. I hid it away for no one to see, only me. And I told my diary everything. Who I had a crush on, when I got a bad grade, when I got a good grade, and even when it was pizza day at school. All the details were locked in that thing. Today, 4.7 billion people around the world log on to various social media platforms and tell us way too much information. Their diaries are out there for everyone to not only read, but see. That's right, there's photos, people. We learn everything about people. And a lot of times, it's stuff that we don't always want to know. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I like to see where my friends are going on their family vacation or the goal that they finally met. And I want to know who had a baby. But I don't need to know what you ate for lunch. I don't want to see pics of your voluntary medical procedure, and I don't really want to hear how much you puked at Coachella. Sorry. So why are we so compelled to share so much? And how much is too much? So that's the question today that we have to ask. Are you oversharing on social media? And here's a man that I'd like to overshare with you. My good friend Malone. Hi, Malone.
Hi, Nikki. How are you?
Well, I'm revving up to overshare because I kind of think I overshare, but why is it that when I do it, it's okay, but when other people do it, it's annoying?
Well, no, you're very businesslike. You do, like, you know, anything that, you know, benefits the show or, you know, promotes the show or something like that. You're good with that, but you don't overshare. No, you don't.
Well, so let me ask you this deeper question here. What is that thing? I can't put my finger on it, but maybe you can help me describe it. What is that thing that makes it feel like oversharing?
This is a very layered question. There's many answers to this because, well, I don't like when people share their food. I don't want to see food because I imagine it going through the system and then coming out in the toilet later. So I don't need to see that.
That's oversharing.
That's oversharing. But some people will, like you said, say this kind of the same thing, but it's like authenticity. Like, do you feel it? Does it resonate with you? You know? Some things you can tell are really authentic from people. Like, they're really going through this. They're really feeling it. And then others, just it just feels like they want to be seen. They want attention.
Interesting. You know? Maybe that's what that is. It's like, it's a cry for help. But then I look at situations online where I'm like, who am I to judge a cry for help? Maybe somebody needs to be heard or seen in that way to feel less alone. So yeah, you're right. This is very, very layered. But can I tell you my pet peeve though?
Please.
Let's start off with a bang. Let me tell you what I can't stand. You know, when people are in the moment, right? Mm-hmm. And they're in the moment of something and then they stop the moment to capture it on social or with their phones.
Right.
And then they go back to the moment. That drives me insane. Like when you interrupt your life to capture the moment, to share the moment, and then you go back to that, to me, that's a part of oversharing that I think drives me a little bit nuts. Does it make you crazy?
Well, yes, it does. But like, as far as oversharing on social media, Nikki, I am learning if I see a beautiful sunset that I don't have to take a picture of that all the time and post that for others to enjoy. Like I could just be in the moment and enjoy it for myself, my soul, right? So I'm kind of learning that because I think I'm kind of guilty of oversharing on social media, to be honest with you. But I always came from a place of if somebody heard my story or felt my experience, it would motivate them or help them in some way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense to me. Absolutely. I think your perspective and your point of view, I don't think I've ever felt like you've overshared.
Really?
You've aired dirty laundry before, which I find hilarious.
Yes, I do vent sometimes.
I find it funny. Like if you're angry at someone and you kind of lash out, I think that's kind of funny. But I have to say another pet peeve is mine, are people's ailments. Like the oversharing of like, their ailments are exactly how they're feeling for the day. I'm always like, what is this? Who is this serving? Like, what?
Nikki, sometimes I say out loud if I'm scrolling through social media, like on Twitter or something, I'll go like, do we care? Like, I don't care. I don't care. Get off my timeline. I don't care.
Can you imagine, Malone, you and I having social media platforms when we were teenagers? would have ruined my life.
Nikki, I would be a whole different, I don't know what that would have been because I would have been unhinged.
I'm mortified by the things that I did in my teenage years. I would be mortified if I decided to document and post my teenage years. So I just have to say, I'm glad I'm not a teenager during this time. But this just brings up a really interesting point. What is oversharing? What's the recipe for oversharing? I don't know. I think it's different for everyone, but I can't wait to dig into this and kind of and find out. And I think you and I fall a little differently on the spectrum of sharing. Both of them amazing, but I kind of can't wait to see what you think.
Well, Nikki, also, it's not only limited to social media. I mean, you know, in the 12-step programs, you know, there's a lot of oversharing sometimes. they even have a timer. And if I, when I would go to meetings, if they didn't have a timer, I would get really irritated. Like, does this meeting have a timer for people that are sharing?
Would you ever just go in the middle of something?
Nikki, if they don't have a timer at a meeting, at a 12-step meeting, then the person will just overshare and the whole meeting will just be their share.
I get it though. I've done it. I've done it before where I'm talking. I think I've done it on this show where I'm talking, Nikki. And I'm talking and I overshare and then I'm just on. I'm on the train. Let's just ride this one home. Jeez.
No, I love it though. And then also relationships. Like I overshare, like if I meet someone I like, I'm like, I overshare and I don't like that I do that. And I don't think it's right. They don't need to know everything up front. They don't need to know that much right away.
But. All right. So we're going to be compassionate today, but also maybe a little judgy. It's okay. That's what we do. Anyway, I think we should see what the public thinks though. So Dax Jordan, we sent him out to ask random passersby about oversharing on social media. And I'm guessing they're going to overshare. So let's take a listen.
All right, Nikki, I'm at the park to ask people about social media oversharing and to see if I can get a few new followers. Hashtag desperate. Are you on a lot of social media?
I am. I'm on Instagram right now and TikTok and Facebook.
Oh, okay. Are you doing like TikTok dances or what kind of content are you posting?
I have no content, but I'd like to watch it.
Lurking in the shadows. That's probably the smartest thing you can do. Do you see people oversharing?
Oh, absolutely. All the time.
Why do they do that?
I think a variety of needing or wanting attention or needing some validation, wanting to feel seen. And it gets sometimes more likes and more attention. So it works.
Plumbing the emotional depths for likes.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you? Do you find people overposting and kind of cringy?
Well, in my early 20s, I overposted and overshared all the time. And just
you learned the hard way.
Yeah, I just kind of embarrassed myself enough. I was like,
Did people smack you down or you just kind of figured it out on your own?
I just kind of looked back at my archives.
Wow, self-examination. So that's the key to leaving a good life. What?
Yeah.
Talking. Who would have thought after thousands of years the philosophers were right? Wait a minute. We have an expert in social media oversharing.
I sure am.
Wow. How many platforms are you on or ruining?
Ruining. I'm ruining all the platforms.
Like Twitter, Instagram,
no,
LinkedIn.
Instagram.
Five or six different accounts.
Yes. When you said how many different platforms, I'm like, yeah, I've got like six accounts.
Okay. Multiple accounts on one platform. That is fabulous. What is oversharing to you? Pure amounts or are you going too deep and too emotional? And are there people who overshare where you're like, ooh.
D, all the above.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever reached out to someone? You're like, hey, that's a little bit much.
No, I didn't reach out to anybody. I just make sure they're okay. If you overshare, like, hey, what's up?
You do a status check?
Yeah. You got to make sure that everybody's okay.
Has anyone ever checked in on you?
Oh, for sure. They have to. Are you kidding me? The shit that I share?
Have you ever overshared on social media?
I don't know. I think I err on the side of undersharing on social media.
How did you learn this level of restraint? Teach me your ways.
I feel like social media is just too... There's too many people everywhere, and like you have to put up a wall and be a little bit cryptic. And
so you're a vague poster.
Yep.
You ever get attacked by ducks here?
Yes. When I'm eating a bean and cheese burrito, they like to go for my salsa because... I don't know if you know, but birds can't taste capsaicin.
They don't mind spice?
No.
Oh, you learn something every day. That's not oversharing. That's just learning.
Yep.
Why do you think people overshare on social media?
I don't think they have enough people in their actual lives to talk to and listen to them.
I mean, when I've done it, that was probably why. Sometimes people reach out, they're like, maybe that's not your story to share. Or like, maybe that's a little too much. And I'm like, okay.
Share on this, like talking to you. That's how much I don't like sharing. So, yeah.
You keep it, you play, keep your cards close to the vest.
Yeah.
Can you tell me some of her secrets?
No.
See? He's a good one. You can tell him all your secrets. We'll talk later. Do you think there's anybody out there in the world who you think should have their social media just taken away?
HR people on LinkedIn that post like the 100-word stories about like the walk they took today that inspired them to keep going at work. Yeah, that is cringe to me.
Okay, I'm not professional enough to be on LinkedIn, so one day I might.
That is the ultimate hate watching platform, I think.
People trying to out-professional each other but still seem human.
Yeah, right. But they're not.
The topic this week is oversharing on social media. Is there anyone in the world who you think social media should be taken away from?
I think it could just go away from everyone. I'd be good with that.
Yeah. Think we should all just hang out in the park and talk to each other?
That sounds like a really good suggestion. If that was posted on social media, I would like that.
All right, I think we found the new social media. Well, look at that. People really opened up about not opening up too much. Hope I gained some followers today. Back to you in the studio, Nikki.
All right, Malone, it seems like most people have that friend who says a bit too much. So everyone's got one, right?
Yes.
I'm like, am I that friend to you? Or are you that friend to me? Maybe.
No, I know.
Oh,
yeah, but people just, like I said, Nikki, people just, I think they want to be seen, they want to be heard, they want to be recognized, you know?
Well, I think we should unpeel this social media onion with our amazing guests that we have today. We are so lucky to have a clinical assistant professor of psychiatry at Stanford University who is going to share her thoughts on using social media in a healthy way. But first, we have a writer who has contributed articles to The Washington Post, New York Magazine, The Huffington Post, Vice, and is a self-described oversharer. Her article, How to Say You Maybe Don't Want to Be Married Anymore, went viral for its raw account of the end of her marriage. I'm obsessed with this article and I'm obsessed with her. This is Sarah Braegel. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Great.
So happy to have you here. Aw, is it fair to say that you are an oversharer, Sarah?
I think I might be. Thank you for the kind words about my article, though. That was probably my biggest overshare. But, you know, it went far and wide. So what can I say?
Well, it's funny because you call it oversharing. Other people may call it connecting. And I think that's what we're kind of digging into today. So let's talk about oversharing on social media. Sarah, where is the line?
Oh, my goodness.
And why can't people see it?
I think the line is different for every single person. You know, as a writer, it's hard for me to like shame sharing or even oversharing really at all, because like I'm here for it. I think my issue with social media is when people try to present something that is not true, like, you know, the fake book idea. I think when people are being authentic, like, I'm into it. I'm glad to read it, you know, and I have an interesting perspective on it. I think because of that article that you mentioned, you know, people were reaching out to me left and right about their marriages. It was really shocking to me because the people who were sharing the most loving, affectionate, you know, you would never think they had an issue in their marriage. Right. Were the people who were saying, I'm in this place, I want to leave my marriage, and I don't know how. And I was like, whoa, what is happening? Because it just was so in my face, like, you know, how these people were using social media to present this totally different, you know, idea of where they are in their life. And that's the issue for me. Authenticity, I'm always here for.
Got it. Yep. That's interesting, Malone. That's what you said right in the beginning. It's like, if it's authentic and it's oversharing, you can be like, well, that's them. But if it's inauthentic, oversharing, that it just, that's where the feeling comes from.
That's right.
So what, like, can we dig into that cringe factor? Like, why, like, Sarah, it's interesting because when I read your article, I was like, wow, it was really soul-bearing, it was honest. I didn't really look at it as oversharing. But when I see people online in the middle of sort of a crying moment where they're like, in a moment of like, being upset about a breakup and they're videoing themselves and then they're crying and then they're putting music on it and then words and trying to pretend it was a moment that they just captured. Like, I'm like, what? It feels a little manipulative.
That's a lot.
It's kind of funny sometimes too.
Like, what do you think about that, Sarah? That's a weird question, but like, you know, those posts when you see them, you're like, what? Like,
yeah.
Why is it cringy when people do it?
That is cringy, but I think you can look at it like two ways. Because I have totally written, like, I've never videoed myself like crying, I don't think.
Well, you should look into it because everyone's doing it.
Maybe I will and just see what the response is. But sometimes capturing those really raw moments is like, it inspires something in someone or, you know, makes someone feel like it's okay to have those feelings or, you know, help someone get out of a dark place. And so maybe there's power in that. On the other side, sometimes it's good to take a little space before you post. So I think, I don't know, it probably depends on how it's done and so many factors, but yeah,
I know.
I think if you really have something to say and you think it has the power to connect people, it's worth it.
Right.
If you're really just like crying into the camera, like, take some space.
Take some space.
Yeah.
Hashtag take some space. Right. Do you know anyone personally, Sarah, that overshares on social media?
I do, but you know, I think I look at it with a pretty like non-judgmental lens, I think. I mean, I built my career as a writer from writing on social media, starting a blog, writing articles. Like, it just sort of went. And the times that I was more vulnerable, those were the pieces that went far and wide. Those are the things that people connected with. Those are the, you know, the PMs that I still get, you know, over articles I wrote 5 years ago. So it's just hard for me to, you know, judge it too harshly. You know, sure, there's things I read that I'm like, I didn't need to know that. And I think I think people tend to do that when maybe they're not in a great place, or, you know, there's just like an unmet need that they have. But maybe, you know, we can just look at it and say, you know, they're using this outlet. We all have this outlet for better or for worse, you know, but it's there. And as long as, you know, people are feeling their feelings, they're going to be oversharing on social media. Like, it is so ingrained in our lives at this point.
I know. You know,
It's nuts.
It kind of is ingrained. And I think it's become part of how we connect with people. And in a weird way, how we connect with our families. Because sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't feel like making these 17 phone calls. I'll just post it on social and let everybody know what's going on. And in a way, it's a faster track to saying, here's what's happening. And I noticed that a little bit in my life. But you, Sarah, are a self-proclaimed oversharer. How's that working out for you?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's always better to connect with people in person when you are able to. Mm-hmm. But social media for me, I think I started using it so much when I was very isolated, when I was like a 24-year-old new mom living on a farm. I could not have been further from people and connection. And right. That is when I really like started writing and started sharing online. And I'm sure there were cringy things. Like, I guarantee you, I like posted how many diapers I had changed or just whatever, like ridiculous mm-hmm. things. But I was so disconnected. And that's why I was doing it. And maybe it was like cringy and gross. But at the same time, it ended up opening doors for me. I was creating a community of mothers, which I didn't have mm-hmm. in my own life. I mean, yeah, like, I'm sure there were moments that I wish I could take back. I don't go back and look at like my first blog. Like,
right.
That would be like, terrifying. So, you know, I definitely like learned what I want to share and what I don't. But I still, you know, like I still share on Instagram. Like, yeah. I went on a good date. It was like whatever, you know, I share so many things about my life. And if it's not for somebody, like, you can unfollow. It's cool.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's so true. That is a great point of you can unfollow, right?
Right. It's not for everyone.
Or just scroll by, Nikki.
Yeah. For sure.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
I need to know that it's real. Know that it's real. So tell the truth.
This article, Malone, I don't know if you've read it, but I suggest you do. It's just, mm-hmm. It's so vulnerable and good. But when you shared and you were writing that article, were you writing it real time or was it reflective for you?
I was writing it in real time. Yeah. And that's why I like so many people still reach out about that post because they want to know they're in that spot where they know that they don't want to be married, but they aren't quite ready to like say the words or take action on it. And it's a really tough spot to be in. And that's why that article sort of went far and wide because it was touching on like this moment. You know, the response like kept coming and coming. And even still now, it's the piece that, you know, people reach out to me the most. And I think it was because of that, because I was writing it in real time.
When you share now, do you feel like it's in the moment or is it reflective?
It depends. Sometimes I do still share in the moment, for mm-hmm. sure. Sometimes I do. I'm careful about, you know, sharing if I'm like really heated or angry or something like that.
Right.
You know, like I don't want to like say regrettable things that, you know, might harm a relationship or anything like that. But I also think like there's power that comes in like really diving into those moments. And, you know, I just always think that people really connect to that authenticity, like,
right.
And there's power in letting go of, of the judgment that right. you may get when you share a raw moment. So I definitely still do, probably not as much as I did, you know, years ago, but yeah.
Malone, are you, I know you love to share, but are there anything mm-hmm. that are off limits for you that you're just like, nope, not going there?
Nikki, nothing is off limits. I mean, I've tweeted, I have diarrhea. Like I just will tweet random things, but you know, I have to say I will, or like I used to tweet stuff like, you know, I'm in a bad mood, but people would like connect with me through those. Like right. because I was so blunt and because it was coming from an honest place. And, you know, I have to credit social media for getting me into recovery because I overshared about my use of painkillers and being addicted to those. And then, you know, other addicts came out and gave me advice and kind of, you know, brought me into the recovery system and world and the right. meetings. And so, yeah, oversharing can be very helpful and inspiring to others. And it's just like, I like that you said that you were in isolation when you did this, like, because isolation, do you know what I mean? When you're in a place of isolation, social media, you know, helps you connect, but also your message goes out there and it could land somewhere to help other people. You know, that's my true. Story, I think, helps other people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What about you, Sarah? Are there things that you won't post about? Are there things that are just off limits for you?
If there are, I haven't. I mean, I wouldn't post that I'm having diarrhea, no offense, Malone. That's a lot.
She's like, I got standards, Malone.
I just think it's funny, though. Like, because you know what I mean? Because yes, it's a human thing.
It's a human thing. But yeah, no, like that line is different for everyone, right? Like, I'm sure I've written about, you know, relationships and I can't really share about my kids much anymore because I have a daughter who's almost 13. So that's sort of off limits, you know.
Can you talk about your sex life and talk about dates and stuff like that? Because what if she sees? Like, then the oversharing comes like, oh, my daughter's seeing this.
Right. You know, like, I think that I really believe in the power of sharing. Like, I would discuss that article with her if she came across it. I would say, you know, like, that's where, like, being authentic and, you know, being careful of choosing your words wisely. Yeah, I don't know. I don't shame sex in my household. I don't shame single moms having sex. Like, I think it's all good. So if she did, I would be open about it with her.
Right. Yeah, I think every single mom should be out there having sex, by the way. But I don't ever want to hear about my mom having sex.
Absolutely.
Like,
right?
Nikki, this is where, like, I'd be a horrible parent. Because, like, if my kid came to me and said, like, don't share that, I'm really embarrassed, I'd go full force. Like, my kid just told me not to share this, but I'm good. I would. You know I would. I think it's funny.
Thank God you don't have any children.
Thank God.
Yeah, but when it's like a 13-year-old girl, like they will rain down upon you.
Yes,
like
they will,
it won't even be worth the share. So
probably
Sarah does.
Yeah, it's true.
Has it ever affected you negatively, the oversharing?
Probably. I will say that when I was married and I was writing about my marriage, my ex-husband, he was very supportive, and he
and
I think it was because we were in a place where, you know, we were working on it. So he was like, yeah, you know, this is totally like relatable stuff. Once we were not together anymore, obviously that became more difficult for him. So, you know, I would say that I probably lost more people in the divorce because I was being outspoken about my experiences.
Got it.
And I understand that, but I still felt like my experience mattered. I felt like it was worth it to speak what I needed to speak.
It's interesting that as you're saying this in real time, I'm realizing why I get triggered by other people's oversharing. It has nothing to do with them.
Nothing
to do with them. It has to do with like me taking it personally, which is very, this is kind of like a not pretty moment for me. But like if someone overshares, then I'm like, ew, why would you do that? I start to judge it based off of how it affects me and how I feel about it and what it means about my life. And really, at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. And that's not why they did it. And if it doesn't resonate with me, like you both said, just scroll it on, get out of the way. But it's just interesting that like sometimes I take it personally.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, you know, it was interesting. You said the don't air your dirty laundry comment earlier. Like that's ingrained in us still. Like our grandmother said that, you know,
like, such an old school saying. I know.
It is so old school, but that is, that's somewhere in all of us that we still think, you know, maybe don't say that. And like, yeah. I'm sure there's truth to it somewhere, but at the same time, like there is power in sharing stories. It right. does connect us. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, of course there are things that there are shares that don't connect us. There are shares that right. drive us apart. Right. But, you know, for me, if I'm sharing vulnerability, it's to connect people.
Nikki.
Yeah. What?
Nikki, like, but don't you find like, you know, with Bernadette, like you've been yes. sharing about the passing of your dog, Bernadette. And don't you feel you get kind of a healing from people, like what they comment back to you? You know what I mean?
Yes. So I post a lot about these great joys in my life, and I post about like the great griefs in my life because I feel like it connects me with people. I find it to be healing. I find also sometimes love from strangers can resonate in a way that just feels more healing than maybe love from like the immediate people around you, like family and friends. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a weird like ripple effect. It feels very spiritual. But I think the airing of the dirty laundry, which is like, you know, Jenny said she was coming over at 4:30 today and she stood me up again. And I'm like, who cares?
Why do I think that's funny though? I think that's funny.
It is funny.
I'm a fan of oversharing, I think.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. And it's personal. It's personal for everybody. Mm-hmm. But what would you say, Sarah, are your rules? And I know rules is kind of a hard word, but what are your rules when it comes to oversharing online?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, of course being authentic, but also, you know, if something is just being put out there just to like make a dig at someone or just to harm someone or something like that, like, you know, that's a no-go.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like sharing about my kids, that has to now, you know, that now that they're older, that has to be done very carefully. There are definitely limits.
But I can't wait for your next oversharing. So bring it on, girl.
Cool.
You know, hateful oversharing or negative oversharing, I always look at those as like a cry for help in a way, you know? Mm. I always look at those as like, I always say like, that's a obvious display of someone that's really unhappy in their life. So I try to have compassion, believe it or not, to those right. kind of hateful negative oversharers too. You know what I mean? Because they just want to be seen.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I feel bad for all the judgment. All right. Well, I'll get over it.
All right.
I'll get over it. So, Sarah, I have loved our conversation. I want you to stick around because we're going to bring on our next guest. So she's a psychiatrist, a professor at Stanford, where she is the founder and executive director of Brainstorm, the Stanford Lab for Mental Health Innovation, and is currently the chief medical officer at Real, which is a mental wellness app. So I'm so happy to welcome to the show Dr. Nina Vossen. How are you?
Hi.
Hello.
So, Dr. Vossen, how do we define oversharing?
That is the big question of the day. And I think you did such a good job of really, honestly, in one of those ways, it's like, you know it when you see it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that what you really talked about earlier was seeing something and having that internal sense of like, ooh, that's not quite right, right? And I think if we think about that, the what is the definition? It's really around revealing an inappropriate amount about one's personal life. Mm-hmm. And I think that what's interesting here is that what's difficult sometimes is that what's inappropriate to one person might be really, really appropriate to someone else, right? And there really is a huge subjective element there. If we take a step back and think even things like generationally or culturally, or even just, you know, all of us here today, we might have very different definitions or levels of comfort around what we feel like we want to share about our own lives. Some people might not want to share anything. Other people are like, I am a complete open book, right? And right. I think especially about like Gen Zers who just totally grew up on social media where they're really comfortable sharing absolutely everything versus I think about my, you know, maybe my mom who might not want to share anything online. And so you know, it is a big question, but I think ultimately it's that sense of like, you know, this doesn't quite feel right. Where is this coming from? I think that's really that's really kind of what it ends up being about.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. When we talk about what's appropriate, that barometer is different for everybody.
Barometer.
That's interesting.
Yes, that's right.
Well, it's funny because you mentioned Gen Z and different generations. It's funny because there are certain things I'm really private about and other things I'm really, really open about, right? But I find that like a lot of like my family members that are boomers, I think they forget that when they're posting things on Facebook that it's actual social platform. I think they just feel like they're sharing it with friends and family. But I get a lot of ailments, a lot of like how the weather is, how their body's feeling, what they ate for breakfast. So I think it's this cute little way of them just exchanging information. But sometimes I'm like, you do know this goes to everyone, right? Like,
you're absolutely right. And there's actually a really interesting study that older people are actually more likely to overshare. So there's a scientific study that said that oversharing increases with age. And this research was looking at 17 through 84-year-olds and that older people are more likely to share information than their younger counterparts. Mm. And I think you completely nailed it that this behavior can be dangerous because for older people, they might actually even like reveal private information to strangers who might take advantage of them, right? And things like that.
Mm-hmm. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
I need to know that it's real. Know that it's real.
So, Dr. Vossen, why do you think that people are oversharing so much online right now? That's interesting.
It is. It's really interesting. And the first is actually exactly what Malone got at, which is loneliness. So when people are feeling lonely and lacking in connection, that leads to oversharing. And I think what's important to recognize here is, first of all, we are in the middle of a loneliness epidemic, right?
Totally,
and we were in the middle of a loneliness epidemic even before COVID. COVID made that, you know, many, many times worse. And this actually then gets at one of the biggest benefits that social media has to offer is that ability to connect with others, to form a community. Malone, you were talking about the substance use community. That's actually one of the best things and one of the best gifts that social media has to offer is being able to connect and form community. And so, you know, really by putting more of your life out there on social media, people really are hoping for and looking for connection, right? To be seen, to be heard. And that's a tremendously valuable element that social media has to offer. And really, like, you know, I do think part of that is based in loneliness, wanting to be seen and be heard. So that's, I think, the first reason why people overshare. Mm-hmm. There are a few more reasons, though, beyond that.
What are they? I'm like, what are they?
What is it?
Yeah, right.
So next is that social media can feel anonymous. And, you know, unlike in the real world, if we were talking in the real world, whether that's about, you know, having diarrhea or whether that's about, you know, my breakup, you don't receive real-time feedback from others in the way that you do in person, right?
Oh,
so let's say we're talking in person. You get these little social cues, right? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if you're a little bored or you feel like someone's gone on, their eyes might move a little into the corner. Mm-hmm. And then that makes me realize, oh, maybe I need to wrap it up. Maybe I'm boring them, right? Mm-hmm. Or someone might make a little facial expression of disgust or of surprise. And because we're all social creatures, we're honed into this. And we've developed over the years and years how to read other people. And so we know how to react to that. On social media, it can feel anonymous because you don't get that real-time feedback.
Yeah.
So you just kind of keep putting things out there. And especially if you go on a long rant, right? You do get feedback, right? You get people leaving comments and things like that.
Yeah.
But you get that only after you've posted what you post, right? If it's a, many paragraphs or pictures or whatever it is you're getting out there. So I think what happens there is that it feels anonymous. And so people actually then feel bolder about what and how they share than what might happen IRL.
Got it.
So that's number two. There are two more things. So the next is that there's no authority. And if you think about something like in the real world, let's say you're in school or you're in the work environment, you do have some sense of authority, social norms and everything around what's okay to say. But online, there's really nobody stopping you from sharing anything.
So
right?
True.
They're trying to clamp down on that.
And, you know, certainly there's at the very extreme, right? Like you can't share hate speech or there are things like that, that things that will get flagged. But like really like 99.9% of what someone might want to say, you can say it. You're not going to get tagged. No one's going to like prevent you from saying that versus, again, in the real world, you know that there's certain things you're just not kind of not supposed to say. So that lack of authority, I think, is there.
Interesting, yeah.
And then the final thing, actually, I think those three are the biggest things. But the final thing, I think this is not necessarily for everyone, but for some people is lower self-esteem. And I think that, and this is for some people where if people are struggling with low self-esteem, wanting and needing more validation from others, and that actually results in an increase in oversharing. So that's really I think these four things are why people overshare. And I think what it really gets at is you see the big picture is why there's a big difference then between what happens in the real world and why the online world has really created this space where it can happen and it can kind of get a little bit out of control.
So that brings up a good point because I like this sort of, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like sometimes I see a false narrative out there where I'm like, oh, my friend from high school starts the day with a post about how her husband is so great, made her breakfast and rubbed her feet. And then literally 2 hours later, she's mad at him because he said something and she's leaving the house for the weekend. Like it's like this real time play by play. And I feel like it's all over the place. What's that all about with people?
I think I know a few people like that. Exactly.
Why are you laughing so hard? Why do I feel like...
That's a big question. And, you know, what I'm hearing there is I think a lot of it is around someone who's starting off really wanting to share a lot of the positive elements of their life. What I think you might question there sometimes is there something here that's performative? You know, and you see like wanting to say here, you know, here's why he's so great and good. Here's why my life is great. And again, I think sometimes that could be a really good, healthy thing. Sometimes that may also actually be based in some insecurity or coming from a place of if things aren't good, that you still want to project a certain image online.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes that happens. I'm not saying that this has happened to that one person, but I think that that is sometimes something that we see. And what that gets to actually, I think it's just this element of social comparison on social media, right? So whenever people are posting, it's very natural that everyone else who's reading it, people are comparing themselves to what that other person said, right? And I think what's really interesting with social comparison is that there are actually both good and bad elements to it. So for a lot of people, when they see how someone else is living their life, it can actually end up being sometimes inspirational or aspirational. Mm-hmm. But then on the flip side, there are a lot of negative consequences to being on social media. And these are from, I'm a psychiatrist, so I'll talk about the mental health sequela, which is things like depression, anxiety, body image issues, even things like suicide and self-harm. We know that the longer people spend on social media, the more likely it is for these sorts of things to come up. And so the reason I say that is that I think that it's important to understand where that, you know, social media as a whole is both good and bad. And what's really important is how are you using it? And then similarly, social comparison, it can be good or bad. And it's like, how are you using it?
Right.
Sarah's example, I think, was really beautiful. And being able to share her story and getting it out there. And Malone, you said, really thinking about why are you sharing this? Why are you getting it out there? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think things that Malone has shared, things that Sarah has shared, that absolutely has resonated with people and probably helped change the discussion and help other people feel seen and heard, helped other people have conversations that they weren't having before. And that is exactly the best part of it, is being authentic, being vulnerable, and getting that out there. That is really the best of what social media has to offer.
So, Sarah, come back in because I'd love to like finish this conversation with both you and Dr. Vossen, because I think So many things that you're saying make sense to me, and I'm actually softening my judgment a little bit. But there is a little, right? Oh, that's nice. Look at the growth that's happening in real time. But what I do have to say this, like, there are those posts. Sarah, you've seen them. Dr. Vossen, you've seen them. Malone, I know you've seen them. Where there's the oversharing, and it almost feels a little bit narcissistic. Like, it's like, look at me, and it's not authentic. What is that about? Like, does narcissism play its role in social media?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, people think that writers are the most like self-involved narcissistic people ever. And like, I mean, it probably does. But on the flip side, like, I don't know, like, if I didn't think there was power in sharing stories, then I wouldn't be a writer. Like,
right.
There's just so much that, you know, I think it helps eliminate stigmas, like just so many things.
So I guess if like out of every 10 posts, one of them's a narcissist and the other 9 are just beautiful, then you know what? We just deal with them. We just deal with the narcissists. We'll be fine. Dr. Vossen, is there anything you want to share about that?
I was going to say, for sure, I think that there absolutely are some narcissistic elements, but also, you know, wanted to just validate eliminating stigma, just like Sarah said. I think that's tremendously important and really one of the biggest gifts that we've gotten now from social media, you know, in terms of what that's able to offer.
What about drunk oversharing?
Oh, Lord, right?
Oh, I've done that's that. A whole other thing.
Nikki, you can always tell Dr. Vossen. Sarah, you can always tell, right, when someone's drunk and they're like oversharing. Like I can, like, oh, whoa, they're wasted.
So bad. Race
oh my God,
them.
That's so funny though.
It is. I know. See, thank you.
So
I think
good.
It's funny too because,
so
like,
bad,
oh,
good.
Look, I'm getting a drunk overshare. I love it.
Can I tell you something I've never told anybody, and I'm so embarrassed, but I'm going to do it because I'm in good company. So I got a little tipsy one night when I was working on a film out of town, and I posted I took a picture of myself that I sent to my husband, and apparently before I went to sleep, I also posted it on Instagram. Don't remember doing it. And my stepdaughter, who was like 13 at the time, was like, "Hey, Dad, Nikki just posted this. I don't think she meant to." So
was it like just sexy, or was it like nude?
No, it was. Sarah's like, was it nude? No, it was sexy, too sexy for random folks to be looking at. Like,
gotcha.
Way TMI,
gotcha.
Way oversharing. So luckily he knew my password and he deleted it. But the next morning I woke up to a parade of texts where I was just like, wait, what? Oh. So yeah, I have done
so
the drunk
funny.
Oversharing. So embarrassing. Had to come home and had a conversation with my stepdaughter of like, here's how not to live your life like I'm doing right now. But yes, I've done that before. So you're welcome. You're welcome.
Nikki, it's so funny.
I mean, I've done that sober, so.
Oh my God.
So, Dr. Vossen, how can we sort of stop ourselves from oversharing? What are some things that we can sort of run through in our brain before we sort of go to social media?
Yes. I would recommend checking in with yourself if you're finding yourself consistently oversharing and trying to make sure you're finding connection and being seen and heard in other parts of your life too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that means maybe like calling up a friend and telling your friend that story instead of posting it on social media for, you know, thousands or tens right. of thousands of people to see. And, you know, maybe at the end of the day, as we've discussed, maybe, you know, you come back and you think about your intention behind the sharing. And maybe that means you still post something,
yeah.
right? Because maybe you share that story with your friend and your friend is like, wow, that was really valuable. Like, I learned something from that. And you realize, oh, maybe other people can too. Or right. maybe you realize, you know, I think I got out of that what I needed to. I feel seen and heard by sharing this with one person. I don't need to share that with others. Mm-hmm. Again, so much of social media is this difference between how we relate to people in person and what we put about ourselves online and how we connect people online. And so I think it's actually taking it back to IRL and having those authentic relationships. And, you know, I think oversharing when you're one-on-one with friends is often really good, right? You're being authentic. That leads to vulnerability and connection. And so returning to that part of it and then deciding, you know, where do I go from here?
But Dr. Vossen, like, what about impulsiveness? Like, you know, because you get your immediate, like, quick response on social media. Like, if I have a problem, I'm going to, like, tweet it out and see what I get. you know?
That's right. That's right.
It's hard. It could be a challenge.
I think impulsiveness is there. Absolutely. That's also why, you know, you can still take something down. Right. But yeah. Also, like, we also say things impulsively in real life too. Right.
Oh,
in a conversation,
sure.
You impulsively say something or think something. And so in some ways, social media is not different. And really just going back to thinking, are you connecting? Are you saying something that is going to lead to a genuine connection?
Right.
Right.
And going
right.
back to that.
So, Dr. Vasan, is there ever a time when it really is okay to overshare?
Absolutely. So if we go back and think about those early days of the Me Too movement, or even before the Me Too movement, no one would have ever shared about any aspect of sexual assault. That would have completely felt like something that was oversharing and really, you know, inappropriate to talk about online. And what was amazing in the Me Too movement is by people starting to get that out there, it actually created a safe space then for other people to get that out there, right? And it really catapulted into something that turned into this really incredible social movement where we created this whole space and ability for people to talk about it. And it like magnified this issue that no one was talking about.
Right.
And it went from being an overshare to then highlighting this huge problem. And I think it became something where it was then, you know, therapeutic for people. It it led to I actually don't even have the words to say how, you know, how important that was and how just a few people probably oversharing then changed that.
Yes, yes.
For everyone else.
Wow, what a good conversation. We've gone from the Me Too movement to talking about, you know, Malone telling everyone on Twitter that he's got diarrhea. I think we've really covered all bases today. But I have to know, Sarah, I know where do you stand, and I'm so grateful for your point of view. But Dr. Vasan, big question. Are people oversharing on social media?
They are, absolutely. And I think that as we talked about, there are some really good things about oversharing and some, you know, potentially concerning and dangerous things about oversharing. And so I think that what we need to think about is oversharing going to help people? Mm. Is it something that you want to engage in? And really understanding, why do I want to overshare?
I like that, finding out the why. Yeah.
The why. Yeah, the why behind it.
All right, I like this.
Yeah.
I just want to say thank you so much to Sarah Bregel for being with us today. Sarah, thank you.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
So fun. And Dr. Nina Vasan, such a great time with you. I feel smarter and I laughed harder than I have in a while. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. I laughed so much as well. This was wonderful.
You both are so wonderful.
All right, Malone. Well, what's the first thing you're going to tweet after today's show?
I'm going to tweet. I want everyone to overshare right now.
I love it.
I'm going to start a thread.
I love
hashtag oversharing.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Malone, I can't think of anyone better to do this show with than my best oversharing friend. So
you can't think
you.
Of anybody to overshare with more.
Exactly. I love you, Malone. Bye.
I love you too. Bye.
Social media is a window into our lives, but a very curated window. Some people keep that window open all the time for the neighbors to see in, while others just lurk and occasionally peek out the blinds. But are you sharing too much on social media? Yes, some of us definitely are. Some of you know who you are, and unfortunately, others don't. But as long as you keep your posts authentic, real, and true, people are probably going to support your story. But sometimes it is okay to just run stuff by a close friend before you post, especially when we're feeling emotional or angry or upset, because you can't alienate the very people we might be trying to cultivate relationships with. So before you jump on your phone and let your thumbs take over, please ask yourself, do I want to say this out loud to the world? Okay, that's our show for today. Hey, tell us what questions are on your mind. Send us a voice memo, or you can email us at callmecurious@wondery.com. Or you can even hit me up on Instagram at Nikki Boyer. I would love to hear from you and get to the bottom of all your questions. Because I don't know stuff too. Hey Prime members, you can listen to Call Me Curious ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey. From Wondery, I'm your host, Nikki Boyer. Our theme song is Tell the Truth by Yana. Thanks to Mr. Malone for joining me on today's show. And thank you to our guests, Sarah Bragel and Dr. Nina Vossen. New episodes drop every Thursday. Rich Goodman is our senior producer. Jacqueline Garofano and Polly Stryker, producers. Our associate producer is Ayanna White. Scott Velasquez, music supervisor for Frieson Sync. Dax Jordan was our person on the street. Sam Ada and Danny Bringer are our engineers. And Tina Rubio and Marshall Louis are the executive producers for Wondery. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next week. And remember, my friends, stay curious.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients: popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.